السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون. والسلام على المرسلين. والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. A couple of weeks back, we spoke about the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us, in particular the blessing of wahi. And just as a very brief recap, we mentioned that there's essentially one of the great blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us is the ability to gain knowledge, and that there's three essential ways by which knowledge can be obtained. The first is through our use of our five senses. We see things, we hear things, we touch things, we smell things, and based on that, we're able to gather information about the world around us. The five senses are limited, they have a certain ability, and where the five senses end, the intellect begins. The intellect has the ability to take what the five senses, the data that the five senses gathers, and the intellect has the ability then to process that and come up with new ideas. For most people, or for many people on the planet, those are the two sources of knowledge, the five senses and the intellect. We have been given the great blessing of having the ultimate source of knowledge, which is beyond intellect, which is called wahi. Wahi is just an Arabic term that refers to revelation. And in our deen, there's actually two types of wahi. The first is the Quran, which is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second is the hadith, which is the word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as inspired by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we actually have both types of wahi, and both have been preserved. That's a very big deal, because as you'll see in this day and age, many religions have come before us and they have been given prophets and revelations, but those were not preserved. Despite being the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they were not preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in our case, the Qur'an has been preserved. And not only has the Qur'an been preserved, but it's been preserved in its miraculous state. The same miracle that was the Qur'an at the time of the Sahaba is the same miraculous Qur'an that is available to us today. So this is something that we should be infinitely grateful for. Beyond that, we have a second form of wahi, which is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which our pious predecessors spent an enormous amount of effort preserving. And glory be to Allah, and the blessings be upon the pious predecessors who took so much time and effort to preserve the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today it's available to us, and we can open up a book of hadith and we can see what the Prophet ﷺ said about a particular topic, how the Prophet ﷺ reacted in a particular instance. And so this is also an enormous blessing upon us, something that we should be infinitely grateful for. One of the ways by which we show our gratefulness for this blessing is to pursue and learn the various types of wahi and what is contained within the wahi. And the essence of that is just called knowledge or ilm. And Rasulullah ﷺ has mentioned so many important things about ilm that we could literally talk about that for 1 year. But in last couple of weeks ago when I gave the khutbah, in the Arabic part of the khutbah, I recited a series of hadith which dealt with ilm. And I wanted to speak about some of those, and so inshallah today I'll share some of those with you so that when you hear them in the Arabic language, you'll have a better appreciation of what exactly is being said and some of the blessings associated with that. So as an example, one of the hadith that was mentioned the last time I sat here was that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to his companions, "Ballighu anni walau aya." Transmit from me, even if it's just an ayah. Transmit from me, even if it's just an ayah. It's these types of statements of the Prophet ﷺ that set off a domino cascade of millions of scholars seeking to preserve both the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. Now, this statement is actually an amazing statement, if you think about it. So first of all, the Prophet ﷺ is telling the companions to transmit whatever you take from me, even if it's as small as an ayah, even just one ayah. Now, the first point, the vastness of this command is just completely mind-boggling. And the way that you would have to appreciate it is to simply reflect on ourselves. So for example, which person in this room can stand up and say, share everything you know about me, wherever I am, to whomever you want? There's no person in this room that can do that. Honestly, it's the opposite. We tell our spouses, don't tell anybody what's happening in the house. If you share whatever happens in the house, I will never speak to you again. And with Rasulullah ﷺ, it was completely the opposite. He commanded the companions, share anything from me, even if it's an ayah. Such that the wives of the Prophet ﷺ shared what happened in the home. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, who was the personal servant of Rasulullah ﷺ, shared everything he witnessed in the home and outside of the home. And all the companions, on every single interaction they could remember, were ready to share whatever they saw from the Prophet ﷺ. Just think about that. That means that the Prophet ﷺ was a truly open book. Whether it was from the early part of the time of the prophethood or the late time, whether it was from Mecca, whether it was from Medina, whether it was from this wife or from that wife or from this companion or that companion or the in-laws or the distant relatives or the cousins, anything that happened with the Prophet ﷺ was so consistent and so impeccable that the Prophet ﷺ could make a general statement saying, ballighu anni, share whatever, spread whatever you've taken from me. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. That's the nature of the blessing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And something that we have are not fully able to appreciate, to be able to have a messenger who is such an open book that anything can be shared, and to take benefit from every perspective of his life is a huge blessing upon us. Is a huge blessing upon us. And I can just tell you that there's nobody on the planet that can make this claim. Nobody on the planet today can make this claim. Certainly nobody in this room, and I can tell you nobody on the planet. We're all sinners. We all make mistakes. We all have our moments. We all are not perfect. And we can't be perfect 24/7. But the messenger was perfect and was created in such a way that he was sinless and would not make mistakes. And so that blessing has come upon us because we are then able to learn, how did the Prophet ﷺ behave with his wives? How did the Prophet ﷺ behave with his relatives? How did he behave with his neighbors? How did he behave under this circumstance of stress? How did he behave with the young ones? How did he behave with the elderly? Everything was an open book. And we, alhamdulillah, have the opportunity to study that and learn that and look up to that and exemplify ourselves in every matter. So there's no question. There's no question in my mind, what's the way to behave in the home? What's the way to behave in the masjid? What's the way to behave with neighbors? What's the way to behave with an enemy? What's the way to behave with a friend? It's all preserved. It's all saved. And it's like an open book. So this is one of the very unique aspects of our knowledge. This is one of the very unique aspects of our knowledge that we are able to learn from the transmissions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and given his very, very high and consistent status. Another statement made by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerning knowledge: "Man yuridullahu bihi khayran yufaqqihu fid din." It when whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires good for, he gives him understanding of deen. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires something good for someone, then he gives him understanding of deen. So now this is very important for us because it helps us to organize our priorities. See, we as human beings, we deceive one another. We get caught up in the fool's game. Just because somebody's pursuing something, the whole crowd, it's called the herd mentality. One person does it, everybody does it. That's the nature. That's the way by which we're created. You know, you have a basketball player, and he's an all-star basketball player, and if he sticks his tongue out when he makes his basketball shots, like there was a famous basketball player when I was young, Michael Jordan, he would always stick his tongue out every time he shot the ball. You go to school, all the kids are sticking their tongue out when they shoot the ball, as if it's going to make the ball go in the basket. Of course it doesn't help, but that was just his character, and everybody feels the need to follow him. We as human beings, we get easily influenced. We get easily confused. You know, everybody's chasing dunya, we decide to chase dunya. Everybody's chasing the star, we all think that that's actually a star. But for us, what's unique and what's special about our deen is that our confusion has been completely cleared away. Because we have a greater source that we can turn to, and that source allows us to better understand where is the ultimate good and what are the things that we should pursue. So if I'm confused, you know, if I think that, you know, a sign of goodness and a sign of success and a sign of achievement is what's in my bank account, or a sign of goodness and achievement and success is a sign of what I drive or what I wear or where I live, you know, or what people say about me, those may be important in certain spheres, but what we should make something very clear, which has been shared with us by the tongue of the Blessed Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give someone a blessing, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give someone the absolute blessing, he gives them understanding of deen. Because understanding of deen leads to obedience of Allah and leads to avoiding of disobedience of Allah. And that leads to success in the grave. And the grave is actually what matters, because that then leads to success in the hereafter. So we don't need to be confused. We don't need to get caught up in the herd mentality. We already have our criteria of, you know, goodness and greatness. Not to say that having wealth isn't a blessing, it can be a blessing. Not to say that having space in one's home isn't a blessing, it can be a blessing. But we should be very clear that the absolute and ultimate blessing and the sign that by which a person will know that I am truly blessed is when Allah gives understanding of deen. Yes, if the other things are there, they're there. But I certainly don't want the other things if Allah does not give me understanding of deen. What does it matter if we have all the beauty in the world, but we can't see, or we can't hear, or we can't understand? So when we judge ourselves, this is really a note to self, right? We're not here to judge anyone else. When we judge ourselves, one of the key questions we should ask, has Allah bestowed me with understanding of deen? That's how I know whether I'm blessed or not. And understanding of deen doesn't just mean that I'm a parrot and I can repeat a few things. Understanding of deen means that what I know, I practice. What I know, I enact in my life. And there's an effect in my ibadah, in my character, in my behavior, in my manners. That's a sign of knowledge. So if we are to assess ourselves, whether we've been blessed, whether we're comfortable with ourselves and the blessings that Allah has bestowed upon us, we should not get caught up in what's my bank account, what's my degree, what's my how many fans do I have on Facebook, how many friends do I have on social media. The ultimate criterion is, has Allah blessed me with understanding of deen? Do I see myself acting and living a life in accordance with Islam? That is the ultimate blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bestow upon someone, and that is a sign that they have been blessed. In another statement, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna al-ulama warathatul anbiya." Very, very interesting statement. Verily, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Okay, so let's take a step back. The prophets are the highest of creation. The prophets are the highest of creation. Allah selected the prophets to do the most important job that could ever exist on the shoulders of a human being, which is to revive or to establish the deen, particularly at times of darkness. So, you know, historically, there have been prophets that have been sent, and one of the general principles concerning the sending of a prophet is that a prophet is generally sent when earth reaches its utter darkness, when there's no hope of revival of the previous deen. So for example, when the Prophet alayhi salam was sent, there was no hope of revival of the previous adyan. And so the Prophet alayhi salam was brought with the message, the final message and the final messenger, which rejuvenated the messages before and it codified it in what we call Islam. So this is the highest level of creation, the prophets. These are people hand-selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do the work of Allah and to guide human beings to that which is best for them in the hereafter. Now, the next question. So, who then are the inheritors of the prophets? Fine, we can't be prophets, right? Obviously, the door of prophethood has been closed. But who are the inheritors of the prophets? So, the Prophet alayhi salam made it very clear. إِنَّ الْعُلَمَا وَرَثَةُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. That verily, the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. Okay, now, the common mind thinks that when they think of inheritance, then the natural notion that comes in the mind is, well, okay, inheritance generally is wealth, like land and, you know, dollars or gold or whatever it might be. So that's the common notion that would arise in the mind of anyone. So the Prophet ﷺ continues to make very clear what he intends. So then he says, إِنَّ الْأَنْبِيَا لَمْ يُوَرِّثُوا دِينَارًا وَلَا دِرْهَمًا. And verily, the anbiya, the prophets, they don't leave behind inheritance of gold and silver. Verily, the prophets, they don't leave behind inheritance of gold and silver. إِنَّمَا وَرَّثُوا الْعِلْمِ. What they do leave behind is knowledge. What they do leave behind is knowledge. And then the Prophet ﷺ makes very clear, فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. And whoever receives a share of that has received a great share, has grabbed a great share. Has it grabbed an enormous, is fortunate to have received such abundance. Think of it that way. So now this again makes something very clear to us, which is that the ultimate blessing that the prophets leave behind is knowledge. And the people who obtain that, they receive the greatest fortune. And that is available to anyone. Any person can dedicate themselves to knowledge and to seeking knowledge and to recognizing that this is where the money lies. This is where the benefit lies. This is what makes us successful. That door is open to anyone. In fact, in another statement, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim." Seeking of knowledge is farad upon every Muslim. Seeking of knowledge is mandated upon every Muslim. So what do we gain from that? From here, the scholars, they make a comment. If everybody went out and tried to become a scholar, then there would be no one else in the community to do anything else. But everybody has a responsibility. We're a whole community. We all have different responsibilities. There needs to be engineers and programmers and whatever. You know, every profession plays a role in society, and every society needs various people to fulfill various roles. This statement that it's mandatory to seek knowledge for every Muslim, what this means is that it's mandatory for every Muslim to seek the knowledge that's mandated, that is necessary for them to fulfill the mandates of deen. So for example, it's mandatory upon me to pray. So therefore, it's mandatory upon me to gain the knowledge of how to pray. It's mandatory upon me to fast. So therefore, it's mandatory upon me to gain the knowledge of how to properly fast. It's mandatory upon me, or it could be mandatory upon me, to pay zakah. If it is mandatory upon me to pay zakah, then it is mandated that I gain the knowledge so that I can properly pay the zakah. And finally, it may be mandated upon us, depending on our status or circumstance, to go for hajj. And if that becomes a mandate upon me, then it becomes mandatory upon me to gain the knowledge of how to perform the hajj. So each of us has a responsibility for knowledge. Each of us has a share in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes as good, and what the Prophet alayhi salam describes as his inheritance. All of us have a share in that. We need to make an effort towards that. We need to recognize that prayer is something that has been mandated upon us, and to excel in the prayer, I need to learn how to properly pray. Fasting, mandated upon us. And to excel in fasting, I need to learn how to properly fast. Zakah may be mandatory upon us, so I need to learn the mandates of zakah, etc. Now, in this hadith, the Prophet alayhi salam, and this, I don't have the full hadith here, but the Prophet alayhi salam also said a few other things about knowledge. So for example, and I'm just sort of building upon this one particular statement, but the Prophet alayhi salam said that the one who seeks knowledge, the one who seeks a path for knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his path to Jannah easy. In a narration that contains this portion of the hadith about the inheritance that we just spoke about, it also comes before that the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who seeks knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his path to Jannah easy. And then further in that same hadith, which is all in the book of Imam Abu Dawud, by the way, further in that same hadith, Rasulullah says, when a person goes to seek knowledge, the angels lower their wings for that person. And then the Prophet ﷺ continues, and he says, and all of creation, and then the Prophet ﷺ specifies, even the fish in the bottom of the sea, they make dua for the person who goes to seek knowledge. In particular, they seek forgiveness for the one who seeks knowledge. Now that's a very extreme statement. Somebody goes to seek knowledge, makes an effort to seek knowledge, seeks the path of knowledge, and the effect is that the angels lower their wings and all of creation makes dua for that person, even the fish at the bottom of the sea. Now, the ulama, they have an interesting commentary here. Our scholars, they have an interesting commentary here. They say, why the fish at the bottom of the sea? Why creation? Why creation? Why does creation care? Why does creation care that, you know, Zayd or Bakr or Abdullah goes and studies knowledge? What is it? What is it to creation? So they have a commentary here. They say that the reason that creation is making dua for this person is because the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are attracted when a person does good deeds. And the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are deflected when people do bad deeds. So if a person goes and gains knowledge, then the next thing will be that they will take that knowledge and they will impart it and they will share it and they will teach others. And when they teach others to do good and they teach others to avoid evil, this will increase and attract Allah's blessings, and all of creation is dependent on Allah's blessings. Without Allah's blessings, creation cannot exist. And so therefore, even the fish at the bottom of the sea make dua for this person because they are going to benefit from the efforts of this person eventually. SubhanAllah, that's the interconnected nature of the world in which we exist. In fact, it comes in another narration that the Prophet ﷺ said that the universe will exist until the very final person on the planet recites shahada. But eventually there will come a time when even the shahada will be forgotten. And at that point, the entire universe will disintegrate. And, you know, the whole sequence of the end of the time will basically occur. So from that narration, the scholars, they comment that even shahada of one person is sufficient to attract Allah's mercy such that the whole universe remains glued together. But the moment that last individual leaves this planet, is uplifted from this planet, then Allah's mercy will be deflected and the whole universe will go into its end phase in which it basically disintegrates into dust. That's the power of spreading of knowledge, of learning knowledge, of teaching knowledge, of gaining knowledge. And that's why the fish at the bottom of the sea take note. That's why the angels and the fish and creation take note that this individual has gone to seek knowledge. And so we too should make dua for this individual so that they can succeed on the path to knowledge. There's many other hadith that, you know, that we can share, but the time is short and we'll do it the next time, inshallah. But what the simple summary is that we have been given an enormous blessing. We have been given an enormous blessing. Yes, we have the knowledge of the world and we pursue the knowledge of the world and there are benefits to the knowledge of the world and we learn from math and science and history and all these things and they have their important place. They do. But it should not be at the expense of knowledge of deen. We should not trade the crown for a necklace, you know, as they say. So we, along with what we do, have to put an effort towards knowledge. We have to support knowledge. We have to encourage knowledge. We have to seek knowledge. We have to encourage our children to seek the knowledge of deen. We have to learn whatever we can about our deen. We have to learn how to perfect our prayer. We have to learn how to fast in Ramadan. We have to learn the Hajj. We have to learn the mannerisms and the sunan of the Prophet alayhi salam. And that will then raise us and attract Allah's mercy and allow us to take our place. This is a huge blessing upon us. And it's something that we should be forever grateful for. And the way by which we show that blessing is by acknowledging it, understanding it, appreciating it, and valuing it. When a person shows value of something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with more. وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَا إِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ And if you are thankful, then Allah will increase us. If we are thankful, Allah will increase us. But how can we be thankful if we don't appreciate what we have? You're never thankful if we're not going to be thankful if we can't appreciate what this knowledge is that we've been given. How special it is. How it is the inheritance of the prophets. How it is a mechanism and a means to be able to attract Allah's mercy and have the angels lower their wings and have creation make dua. This is something very, very special and something that we should put time and energy towards. And by the way, we should put time and energy like we do to the other things that are important in our life. You know, somebody can come and ask you, how much time should I put in gaining Islamic knowledge? There's no answer. Everybody's different. But then my response is, well, go through your own life and ask how much time do you put in the things that you see deem important? If you think that the NFL season is important and, you know, whatever players you've drafted are important and you spend, I don't know, 10 hours a week on that, then it better be that we spend 10 hours a week on knowledge. If we have MDs and PhDs and bachelors in, you know, accounting, we better have that much knowledge in our deen as well, or we'll be off balance. If we put 20 years towards seeking one type of knowledge, we better have put in at least 20 years towards seeking another type of knowledge. I don't have to answer that question. Everyone can answer that question for themselves. Just look at our own lives. What do we emphasize? And have we given at least equal emphasis to this blessing of Allah? Have we given at least equal emphasis? I'm not saying it needs to be more. Let's just start with equal. And I think that if we were to reflect on that, we might come back to ourselves and say, we can do a little more. And this is the time to take advantage. This treasure is before us. Millions and millions of scholars have preserved for us our deen. And all we need to do is just consume it. You know, my teachers used to say to us when we would sit in madrasa, and my teachers used to get so angry. They used to say, you know, we cooked the food. No, we bought the groceries. We peeled the onions. We cooked the food. We put it in your plate. We picked up with our hands. We put it in your mouth. All you have to do is chew, and you're so lazy you won't chew. This is what my teachers used to say to us, that all you have to do is chew, and you won't even chew. So, subhanAllah, this is a blessing. Our scholars have done all the work. There's so much sacrifice. We could talk about, you know, this for weeks, all the sacrifices of all the great scholars. All we have to do is chew. It's all readily available to us. And there's so many scholars in the Chicagoland area. They're open and ready, and there's program after program and place after place. And subhanAllah, we have such a blessing. Not even have to travel more than 20 minutes and we can find places where we can learn. So we should seek our deen. We should seek knowledge. We should seek this blessing. We should appreciate this blessing. We should show Allah that we appreciate this blessing, and inshallah, He'll increase all of us. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.